Well, tonight we're going to pick up again. Sherry filled in for me last week, so you got another teaching there in that. So we're going to pick up, although, on the life of Christ. There's things that we can learn about as we go in now, really starting into the areas of his ministry. Because of looking at this, if you follow it after, you can learn a lot about ministry and how the Holy Spirit works. Remember this, Jesus did not operate as God. He operated as a prophet under the anointing of God. So it's the same way that we do. We're anointed by God and we operate in the same manner. You need to learn this as you need to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. In ministry, nobody can write a book and tell you what to do all the time about things. We have a lot of people over the years. I've been around and I've seen this, and I've seen people write books, and they're more destructive than they are good because, well, if you have this, do this, do this. And what it is just laws and rules to follow. And I tell you, they don't work. What happens, back in the 1980s, the late 80s, somebody wrote a book. Now, it was about mid-80s. Somebody wrote a book and had in there about dealing with demons. And if a person has this problem, they have this demon. Or they have that problem, they just wrote this whole thing out. And the church world bought it like crazy. And got over, and I mean, it was just totally ridiculous. You can't tell by a person what they're doing concerning the demon, if they have a demon, and that's what they're doing. People can act certain ways. It's them. It's not a spirit, and this is why you got to be led by the Spirit of God ministering to people. And it's really important. We're going to find out with Jesus. He didn't minister all the time like we have today. Most people think of, well, if you're going to pray for, if you're going to minister to the sick, the first thing they think is, well, laying hands on and praying for people. Well, we have, that's one thing, one way you can. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do that all the time that way. Well, sometimes you're going to lay hands on people and the Holy Spirit wants to do something differently and it won't work what you're doing. It won't work. If the Holy Spirit is designating something else, you're going another direction. Don't expect it to work. Sometimes people don't get healed because of that. God wants to do something differently. God wants to move in a different way. But people have their traditions on how you do it. Now, one of the ways you can minister to people is by the laying on of hands. But that doesn't mean you pray. Ministering the sick, Jesus said, in my name. You'll lay hands on the sick. In other words, he didn't say if you pray for them in my name. But that's exactly what the church believes generally. So people practice that way, but yet the scripture doesn't say that. And so this is why is really pay attention to scripture. What the scripture says, what the Holy Spirit's revealing. Because what happens is, you, many times people think they act like they don't have traditions and they don't realize they have tons of traditions that they follow that actually hinders lots of times what God wants to do. So, one of the things, always be open to the Spirit, looking on the inside. Don't look on the outside of what the conditions are or people going on around you of your, how you minister to them. Look on the inside. What's God saying? What's on the inside of you? What do you get a sense to do? Sometimes it seems strange, but let's operate and do it that. Now, the last time we were together dealing with Jesus, the Messiah, which we're talking about, Jesus is the Christ, we look at this. We talked about the fact of Jesus' first really miracle, the first thing that happened through him when his ministry. His ministry didn't start till after he was taken, he was into the wilderness and he came out. That's when his ministry started. So he didn't have a ministry for his first 30 years. He didn't have ministry. He wasn't in the ministry at all. He's just out here living a life and living right. You know, living a right life is a very important thing to do. And because of that, may determine whether God can use you in areas of ministry of what you've done just in your regular life. Walking along. You might not be specifically called to something. You know, it's like the Lord said to me, I was faithful. He said, you were faithful with other people's ministries. I'm going to put you in yours. See, many people are sometimes trying to get into a ministry, but they haven't been doing what they knew. You know, did you ever think about this? If you go over and read what Paul wrote to Timothy about in the church about deacons. They said you don't appoint, Paul basically said you don't appoint a person a deacon if they aren't already doing whatever it is they want to be. See, many people, they don't do anything, but they want to be appointed in a position. The first thing I always look at a person, what are you doing? Do you have to always be told to do something? See, I found this out just working naturally in life, even as a sinner. I was good and faithful, did things. They didn't have to tell me at work. The places I worked, they didn't have to tell me to do everything. You know, I'd just do stuff. I found out this. I always got promoted. That's what it is, you know. No, people turn around, they're waiting for somebody to always, you know. I'm just sitting around waiting, you know. I'm waiting on God, and they'll be there 30 years later waiting on God. And nothing happening. No, you start to do things, if you're like in the ministry. Number one, I knew I was called to the ministry, so what I did, I started acting in my life like I was called to the ministry. I started doing things toward the ministry. I started moving in that direction. Amen. That's what I did. And there's many people I found out because I would say this, probably at least half people that are called in the ministry will never get into the ministry. Many are called, few are chosen.
Amen.
People need to understand it. And why? It's not God's problem.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. They're called to it, but they're just waiting around for somebody to just... No. You know, it's just like... Just think if everybody just waited. Well, if God wants me to have an education, I'll get one. So I just go and I'll just sit around. One day God's going to have somebody from a college call me. That's the church. Hey, it's good stuff anyhow. But anyhow, we found out this about Jesus. And Jesus began the ministry. He started all his ministry. He went to his hometown. And how would you like to start your ministry and get shut down? This is the start. You know, it's a good thing to learn these things. You have to learn to not be accepted. And not, you know, get
Amen.
Bitter and anything else, you know?
Amen.
I just, hey, I don't, my job isn't to try to get accepted.
Amen.
You just go give the truth, and this is what you do. You just go along, and some like it and some don't. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And you know what? Focus your time on the ones that like it.
Mm-hmm.
Most people focus all the time trying to win the person that don't like you at all and don't want to hear what you got to say. And they think it's their job to make them like you, and they go, no, they don't. I learned this. Jesus said to the disciples, they don't accept you. What do? You just stay there and keep talking to them and just try. No, he said, shake the dust off your feet and leave.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to do that.
Amen.
I learned to shake the dust off. Why drive yourself crazy? Trying to get someone accepted don't want to. If God can't reach him, there's a good chance Ed's not going to do well at this.
Amen.
That's right.
So, but anyhow, so he went to his hometown. They didn't like it. One of the things in Mark 6:6 says this, and he marveled at their unbelief. Then he said, what he did was this. He went and said, you know, I'm tired of it. These people, they're nuts. I'm getting it. Now, he said, the scripture went on to say, then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. There's only one place, a way to deal with unbelief is teaching. There's no other way. Faith comes by hearing the word. If you cannot get people to sit and hear the word, if they don't want to, you're wasting your time trying to deal with them in areas of faith. They're not going to happen. It requires being in the word. So what he did, he went around teaching. That's what he did. Well, he went around teaching. In Luke 4, we have what he did is after when he there, he went to Capernaum. We're going to go look there in Luke, the 4th chapter. So he headed to Capernaum. We can learn some things about ministry here with these folks. We're going to find out they're really different than what he was dealing with the people in Nazareth. There's a difference. And so it says here in Luke, the 4th chapter, he goes into Capernaum, and it says in Luke 4, in verse 31, said he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them in their synagogue. So Jesus is again in the synagogue. I will guarantee you what he did in the synagogue. He read the same things that he did when he was in the synagogue over in Nazareth. He's telling them he's anointed. You know, do you ever think about going out in ministry, you know, and inside with people? You know, most people, I'm anointed by God. I don't mind telling people, I'm anointed. Most people are ashamed of it. They won't say, well, I'm just like everybody else. Ed's not. I'm not like it. I'm anointed by God.
Amen.
And I can tell people, God sent me, I'm anointed. Well, they have a choice whether to believe that or not believe that. In Nazareth, they didn't like that he was anointed. They didn't like that he was you know, if you're doing the will of God, you're in the fulfillment of Scripture. That's what you're doing. And if they'll accept it, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. And if you're in line with the Word, that's why is when you try to shy away to keep people happy so they don't get nervous about you, because, well, you know, you're weird, you're different. I'm the weird, different guy. That's me. I'm the weird, different guy. I'm anointed by God. Most Christians, they want to hide their being anointed because they think somehow it'll make them the people like them better and they'll have a better chance of getting a hold of somebody. Jesus was an idiot compared to Christians today. They think he's crazy. Why would you go do this? Why would you go stand up front and read a scripture? Basically, you know, God sent me, I'm anointed. I'm the guy in this scripture. I can just say this. If Jesus was anointed and I'm in him,
Amen.
Are you in him?
Yes.
Or where are you at?
Amen.
The average Christian don't believe they're in him. It's just a nice thing we say. We're in him. So therefore, if he was sent and he was anointed, then it is sent and he's anointed, and then I am a fulfillment of that scripture.
Amen.
I'm a fulfillment to carry out the ministry of the Messiah. Are you? See, you have to decide these things about yourself. Are you anointed to set the captive free? I am.
Amen.
So you see, how do you view yourself? See, we talk about going out into ministry. Look at what Jesus did. People say, you know, well, yeah, you know, we're called to do what Jesus did. When's the church going to start this one? When are they going to do it? They always say this stuff and then back away. He was special. I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm in him. I'm special.
Amen.
You're in him. You're special. See, why don't we act like we're special? Why would people, you know, the world will come along and if they think they have a place or a position, they'll throw it right in your face.
Mm-hmm.
The church runs and hides it. Oh, I don't want anybody to think I'm a big head. It isn't about being a big head. Telling the truth ain't being a big head.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I don't go down and get my car fixed, but on my mechanic, and he's... I'm not really a mechanic. No, I'm not. What, does he act like that? Would you take a car? Would you want to do that? Would you go to a doctor that, well, you know, I'm not really... I'm not, well, we're looking for somebody else. I don't want this guy messing with me. If you are something, what's wrong if you say you are? If you're just doing to be arrogant. But if you want to minister to people, you know, it would be good to tell them, you know, I'm representing God here.
Amen.
That's what I do. We're Christians. We're representing our kingdom. Do you know, when I travel to other countries, I got a thing with a passport. I go there, I'm telling them what country I'm from. I'm not going to, no, I don't want them to know I'm an American and I don't. You know, you get into trouble, you want to be an American to have them get you out. I think that's why a lot of Christians don't ever get out of trouble. Because they throw their passport away a long time ago. We're from a different country. We are a different kingdom. People need to know that we're from a different kingdom.
Amen.
We're not of this world. That's not where we're from. See, we're so attached to the outside, and then we've lost consciousness of who we really are. See, you want to live in the light of that, who you really are. You know, God, you know, hey, God will use me to help people. God will use you to help people.
Amen.
God uses people. He don't do it without people. See, you keep praying for God to do something and you don't operate through you, don't expect nothing to ever get done. You're wasting your time praying. God uses people.
Amen.
That's what he does. You know, many times, you know, I tell the Lord, you know, you won't send somebody, Lord, you might have a specific person, but, you know, I'm willing. If you want me to go, I'm willing. See, most people are always praying for God to use somebody else. Put me out there, dear Lord. I'm comfortable here, what I'm doing. Let me alone. God send somebody else. Here am I, Lord, send them. No, I tell the Lord, if that's His will, He wants me to, then I will. That's what you have. You know, you got to, number one, He wants to, He has to know if you can't, He don't know that you're willing just because, well, you say, you know, on the inside I am. He'd like your mouth to say it sometime.
Amen. Proclaim it.
You know what? Ain't for His sake, that's for yours. Because as long as you keep your mouth shut, you ain't going to ever do nothing.
Preach.
I'm just telling you. You're going to have what you say. Mm-hmm. That's the scriptures. Jesus said you will have what you say. And I don't care. I have a willing heart, but I don't ever let it known. then you probably won't do many willing things.
Amen.
This is good preaching.
Yes.
But this is the ministry of Jesus. So Jesus goes, now it says about these folks in verse 32, it says they were astonished at His teachings, for His word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice. Now, let me say this about an unclean demon. Every spirit is unclean. The fact that some people, they're always trying to category certain things. You know, we deal with people sometimes, they say a lying spirit, but lying spirit's unclean. Any spirit is unclean. Because they're demonic. There's nothing clean. What they were doing is to pervert people and turn people into what they are. That's what they're doing. So this guy, he has an unclean demon, and he said this demon cried out a loud voice saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know you are the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Now let me say this, because if you ever have to deal, I don't know if any of you ever had a time where a person is possessed. Now people can be possessed on different levels. Many times possessed people are not all the time that spirit operates through them. Part of the time it's them. Then the spirit manifests itself. Usually what will really cause the spirit to manifest if they get around somebody who's anointed. If they do, somebody who has an anointing, then that spirit will start to kick up. That usually brings, I found this out. It was always amazing to me, because if you get into, like say, they would have like major meetings. I'd go like say at Brother Hagin's meetings. It was always a funny thing. You'd get over and the spirit of God really start moving. All of a sudden you'd have people in the crowd start acting up. Demons manifest themselves. Wow, that anointing. They can't hide. See, the anointing causes them, it causes demons a lot of trouble. Causes them a lot of problems. The reason they don't usually manifest with people, and that's so there's no anointing. People don't have some. I've had already where demons have manifested just because I was in their presence of a person.
Amen.
I've seen them. They can't hide. Sometimes it isn't just acting out. I'll tell you what, you can tell when a demon's in a person. I'll tell you what, you'll find this out dealing with demon-possessed people. I should know it's true. The demon, if they have a problem, they'll not want to look at you straight in the eyes. They'll keep running away. There's one thing is you get them to look you in the eyes. You know why? Because you see them in the eyes, you'll see what's looking out at you.
Amen.
They can't have. I've had that happen numbers of times. Amen. People with a spirit, and I looked in their eyes, and I know it wasn't them looking out at me. Now that doesn't mean you cast them out. You understand that dealing with people, you need to understand you don't just cast a spirit out of a person just because they have one. Because you may do them a great disservice, may end up worse than what they were before. Because if a person ain't going to do nothing about getting straight, especially dealing with Christians, Christians get their souls messed up. They get their mind and emotions yielded over demonic powers. Then you get people who say they're Christians and they're not. Mm-hmm. And everybody thinks they're Christians. We had a woman who went to our church years ago. She wasn't saved. Oh, she had people all believing, and she'd get ministers to believe her, drop a hat. She's saved. She never saved. She operated under a spirit. Oh, she could act real religious, but that's all it was an act. She had friends that did the same thing. One of the friends came to church one time, started talking in what was tongues, but it wasn't God tongue. It was demonic. I'll tell you, when I heard her started, to me it was like somebody with chalk on a chalkboard going, I was amazed at this, because most of the people in our church didn't know. I'll tell you, you better listen in your spirits. I'm just telling you, this is about ministry. Mm-hmm. You listen. You pay attention. I don't care what something looks like. Things can look really good. People, and I'll tell you what, the average person who's operating in a religious spirit is going to be probably live a clean, as what seems to be a cleaner life than you do. That's why you can't judge. Oh man, religious spirits know how to act real religious. The only way you can know the difference is you can't be real religious. You got to be a good Christian. Then you can tell the difference. But if you like think religion's good, you'll follow after them. You'll just follow. They got good traditions. They got good this, no. That isn't what makes it work. It's number two. When dealing with this demon, he started talking. The first thing Jesus told him to was shut up. You don't have a conversation with the devil. If there's going to be anything said, it is controlled by the person dealing with the demon. You don't let them, because I've seen people and they get over and they want all kind of stuff. It's like, no, you don't do that. Because the devil will back you into a corner and he'll have you lapping out of his hand. You don't do that. You stop him, tell him to shut up in the name of Jesus. So this is what Jesus did. See, if we're going to follow his ministry, what did he do? Well, then you would treat the same manner, wouldn't you? See, people sometimes think they need a bunch of classes. They don't need another bunch of classes. Just read the Bible. Pay attention to what the Bible says. If Jesus did things a certain way, well, then they would be done that way, wouldn't they? That's the way, you know, you do it. You'll never find out he didn't deal with demons in any other way. He always dealt with them. They're always the same as how he dealt with demons. You know, and the scripture tells us, he said we'd cast out demons in his name. He didn't say we'd hold long conversations and we'd do all kinds of things, and he never said none of that. See, we get into a lot of things, what is man's traditions about dealing with stuff, of how things are done. Things are done much more simple than we do. Religion always likes to add a bunch of things, like you do all this different stuff, because we like all that. You know, you add more stuff to it, seems like, you know, we know all these things, and it don't work. Just, it's very simple, you know. Demons have to go in the name of Jesus. They don't go because you're a good prayer. They are, you know what? You'll never find Jesus prayed about a demon. I don't pray about demons. I don't pray. I pray to God, and if he wants to tell me something about a demon we need to deal with, then we will. But my prayers go to God. We're not focusing on demons. We focus on God, and we'll know how to deal with the demons. We'll deal with that stuff. And get yourself over into that. You know, if there's something of a spirit involved, like praying for people, you have to find out sometimes about people. I don't pray about the demon. I just pray concerning that person, and if God reveals to me what's going on, sometimes God does and sometimes he doesn't. There could be, but you know what? You can't cast a demon out unless you know it's a demon. You can't improvise. Demons are cast out by faith, which means this. You have to know it's a demon, not presume it is. Presumption is not faith. Presumption is never faith. Never. We presume something. You'll find this out. This is why you have to listen to your spirit. Either through the gift of the word of knowledge. With the Lord, that's where he deals with me. Concerning a spirit, I'll get a word of knowledge. I'll just know it. I'll just know I'm dealing with a demon. I'll just know it. Just something on the inside. See, word of knowledge, that's one way it does. Discerning of spirits, that's being able to see in the spirit realm, and you'll see the demonic power that's operating. You'll see that. Other than that, you don't know it. You need to put people. You know, I have been around it already where people were trying to cast a demon out of a person that was not a demon involved. It was the person. And they're going through all these shenanigans, and they're going through all this stuff, calling it ministry, and nobody was ministering to nothing. See, we want to know for sure. People can do things. People have squirrely personalities. And you want to have this problem here. One thing, you don't just let yourself have a squirrely personality, because the devil can take advantage of you in these things. Because a lot of people do things today, personality-wise, to draw attention to themselves. Don't do that. You'll open yourself up to demonic powers. See, when you want to draw attention to you, you know, draw attention to Jesus. Don't draw attention to you. Draw attention to Jesus. See, people try today, as we have all this with online stuff and everything, and all this stuff of from Facebook to you name it, and all of it's people trying to get noticed, letting everybody know what they think, what they have, what they're doing. Not good things. This is, I'm just telling you, there's a lot of things that opens the door up to demonic powers. I got to be important. Somebody said something, I got to add my 2 cents. Just don't remember, it ain't worth 2 cents. It'll cost you $50 worth of trouble from the devil for doing a lot of things. How we respond to things, being very careful about these areas. Hallelujah. Well, we find out Jesus rebuked him saying, be quiet, come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him out, it said in the midst, he said he came out of him and did not hurt him. And said, then they were amazed and spoke among themselves saying, what a word is this is. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirit, and they came out. And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding area. Now we want to see something about him because we find this is different than Nazareth. They are astonished, but they have not, in your Nazareth, they rejected his ministry. That's what they did. Here they didn't. They didn't understand what was going on. You need to understand this. If you don't understand, don't just reject because you don't understand. Many people shut God off that way, you know. They shut God off that way because they don't understand. They have their ideas. You know, there's people and dealing with stuff like this, you know. Down in Nazareth, you know, he goes in there and reads to them. What are they? They're offended at him. They got offended. They went as far as wanting to kill him. You know, so what happens from a ministry standpoint, he limits, they're limited to what God can do. God responds to faith. So we know this. This is one thing is being able to minister to people. If you get over in the areas and people in rejection, they're not moving in the areas of faith. They'll shut the door on it. They'll shut the door on you to be able to minister to them. A person can be open. I learned from Kenneth Hagin, and I found out that to be true is what he said. He used to always use the term this. They would have somebody see me with a problem, even in the hospital, and sometimes like a person even being unconscious. And he said, and he'd say this. He'd say, if they haven't shut the door, and he said, I could probably help them. You see, what happens, sometimes people shut the door to things. And well, spiritually, they shut the door. They get over in the areas of unbelief. They've set themselves in a direction. And when they get unconscious, you can't do something. Another term he used, and I found it a good way to put it, is they're in neutral. If a person's in neutral, you can do things for them. They aren't opposing you, and they don't have a direction that they're specifically going. And you can help those individuals. And that's what I found out. Once people, religious people, usually always set a direction immediately. It is hard to get religious people into neutral. Can't do it. You can't get them in a neutral. If you can get a person in neutral, you know, it's dealing with them. I know, see, that sometimes God is able to do that. When I tell the story about the woman I worked with who her mom had cancer and was dying. What happened with them is they got into neutral. They got over the place where they stopped and said, we've done everything we can, she's dying, and we prayed. We just turned her over to the Lord. See, they backed out of it. They're neutral on this thing. And the Lord said to me, yeah, because they did that, I could get someone who could believe and step in. Well, see, I wondered why. Why am I able to step in this? Because they got into neutral. This is why many times you can't minister to people because they've gotten over and they aren't in neutral. They pushed in a direction, either they don't believe in this or they're believing that and they're doing this. I find out it's very hard. Especially people who believe, and let me say this, among the so-called faith people, can be very hard to minister to when they get into serious problems with health and things. I've run in over the years this loads of times. They're not in faith, but they sure think they are. And they're not at all. And when you try to talk to them about it, which over the years I've had this numbers of times, and you know what? Every time they get offended. Every time they get offended. I'm trusting the Lord. I know. And you go down and look through the scripture, and if they would just be able to read the scriptures, they'd know that they're not in faith just by the things they're saying and doing. See, you have to know whether you're in faith or not. Not just because what you think. Many people, the reason they think that they're in faith, their faith is a mental thing, not a spiritual thing. Because if they listened to their spirit, their inner man would tell them, you're not. They know from the inside that they're not. You know from the inside whether you're in faith or not. Remember Jesus said, if you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, he didn't say anything about your head. He didn't say a thing about your mind. Why? He knows it gets flaky. He knows your mind. He knows mine. It gets flaky sometimes. But you got to know on the inside whether you got this thing or not. And if you believe you receive something, I can tell you, I'll watch you over time and I'll tell you whether you believe it. Because your actions will start in line like you got something rather than you're trying to get something. Because if you're still trying to get it, you ain't got it.
Amen.
This is simple stuff. It is not hard things. Everybody, at times along, I found myself, you know what? I'm not acting in line what I say I believe. Hold it. I got to put the brakes on this thing. I got to change. Mm-hmm. Why? This ain't going to work. I can make all my confessions that I want. But I'm not acting in line with my confession. Why? Faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding action. Your actions will kill what you say you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Think about those things. I'm telling you, they're good things to meditate on until you get a revelation. See, I thank God, I got a revelation of that as a young Christian. I got a revelation of that. Man, I'm always glad I did. I got a revelation about acting on the Word of God, the power of acting. Pastor Hagen, Kenneth Wayne Hagen, the son, he used to always say this. He said, you know, deal with the power of dealing with person and their action. He'd say, you know, that, you know, something you're doing from action and the power of God put together, he says, makes a mighty force for God. Well, see, everybody's trying to get a mighty force from God just from the spiritual side. And you know what? It don't work. It's just like we want to reach the world, not preach to them. Let's believe God to reach the world, but we're going to preach to them. You're going to have to do something to join on the outward to get united together with what you believe causes something to happen. And so you need a revelation. There's nothing wrong if you don't have that revelation. You can get it. Meditate on the Word of God, what the Word of God says, so it becomes real to you. Jesus said, whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe it or you receive it. When you pray. Believe you receive it. In other words, he said, when you pray, you're supposed to believe you got it. You can't believe for something for faith you didn't believe God gave you. If you're waiting for him to give it to you, he hasn't done it yet. Then therefore, he hasn't done it. When are you going to have to find out? This is most people, this is what we do. Well, when it shows up, then I know he gave it to me. What faith is in that? Nothing. You know, I got saved because I believed when I prayed, God saved me. It wasn't, I waited one day, I felt like I saved. Now, you know, I'm acting different, I must be saved now. See, we have a lot that is very confusing in the areas of faith with people, and we need to come over. We're walking in light of this. Now, these people here, what they were, these people, they didn't reject his ministry, and make sure of that about yourself. You know, there's things I've heard preached over the year. I didn't know if it was true, was right or not. I didn't throw it out. I just thought, well, we'll find out over time. You'll find out. See, people reject things on the basis of your knowledge. I'm just going to tell you this about you, because I know it about me. You don't know enough to be rejecting a lot. If you don't understand, you do have two things. I just put it on the shelf. I don't say it is, and I don't say it isn't. We're going to find out. Then when I find out what the truth is, goes along, I find out things that I thought weren't certain. I wasn't sure of them. Found out it was true. There's things that people were gulping and saying, I wasn't sure about it, and I found out it wasn't right at all. As over time, you find out. So what do? You keep yourself in neutral, because if you draw a line and pick a side right away, you might go 20 years before you find out the truth. When you could have known it a long time ago. God, it'll be then, from that point, it'll be a hard time for God to bring across you, because you've accepted certain things true or not true. And it becomes hard for Him to get it across to you, because you've already set yourself. Now, I'm telling you this because I know for myself. And I'm just going to tell you, you need to be careful. I've learned over time. Too many Christians have set their whole life in their little camp of how they're doing it, and they get to the point where they have a hard time receiving revelation from God. They make it hard for themselves. Don't make it hard for you. You know, we're growing up and learning. You know, when you started off in school, you might have thought 1 + 1 was crazy, but you know, if you hung in there after a while, you know, you found out, hey, you know, this stuff, it does work. Glory to God. Well, let's find out about this ministry as it goes on, because here we find out Jesus taught. And in verse 38 says this, "Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and served them." Now we want to see this. She's sick. Did he even lay a hand on her or touch her? Why didn't he? I'm just going to tell you this. Jesus never decided this for himself. He didn't decide how he was going to. He had to be led by the Spirit just like you and I do. See, most people read, and Jesus is somebody out here special, and we don't pay a bit of attention to it. Then we read how we're going to do His ministry. Oh, 99% of Christians don't believe that's true. He had to be led by the Spirit. You need to understand, this is ministry. Why did He do this? Because we're going to find out He ministers to people differently later. Why He's ministering to people? Why? He's led by the Spirit of what to do. I've learned this over the years. It works. You know, you get your idea, you know, going along and ministering to people, you know. Like the Lord, I used the one where a Mennonite man, you know, we're in a full gospel businessman meeting, and I was ministering, and I was standing there in a meeting, and I got this severe pain in my chest. And I'm there. First I'm thinking, my God, what's wrong with me? I mean, I had this severe pain in my chest. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, this isn't me. There's somebody has severe pain in their chest. Somebody out there got this. And so I said, is there someone here who has a really severe pain in their chest? And this Mennonite guy raised his hand, a farmer, and he stood up and came up front. I asked him about what happened. A cow had kicked him when he was milking that night. I don't know if you've had a cow kick you. If you didn't, I hope you don't have the experience. You don't want to. These cows are big and they are strong. Don't you believe they're out there and they're just little weak things? They kick you, you will know you was kicked. And anyhow, he's in severe pain. Now, you know what? Now, see, getting over your own mind? See, I get over my mind and I'm thinking, see, God called him up because he wants to heal him. So I know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to lay my hand on him. And so I put my hand on him and I started to pray. And see, there was anointing on me. And I put my hand on him and the anointing lifted. And inside I had this little inkling, baptism of the Holy Ghost. But see, it couldn't be. He got kicked by a cow. He don't need the baptism. He needs healing. You see, I knew more than God. I'm like you. So, now I didn't do that once, I did it 3 times. And finally, the light came on. And I thought, every time I touch him, this stops. The anointing lifts off of me. See, there's anointing to minister to him, but I'm going to send it in. I want to go in the wrong direction. I'm cooperating with God. So finally, I stopped and I said to him, "Have you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost?" He said, "No." I laid my hand and said, "Be filled with the Holy Ghost." He got filled with the Holy Ghost and healed just like that. It wasn't till I followed the Spirit it worked. See, that's why you got to be led by the Spirit. See, this idea of ministry, now there's one thing. The Bible tells we lay hands. It says, well, it says lay hands on the sick and they recover. Good. You know, in the name of Jesus. Well, I mean, we drug that one out to a 15-minute prayer. That's what's going on. The name of Jesus ain't big enough. It's my great prayer delivered them. We need to go and kick over our, you know, these religious cows that we got. You know, we had this thing, you know, we talk about these Hindus over there and they got these cows and they're really sacred. Oh my God, we got cows that are more sacred than any of them they got. You know, the way we do things. And I know it. Should I tell you the hardest thing people to get rid of? Religion. We love religion. God has a better one to do, and it'll work. So all you got to do is, and it's a big thing, is learn to be led by the Spirit. You know, check on the inside. There's things that may not make sense in the natural, to things. I've had times of me, I thought things in a minister to somebody, and I just skipped some of them. But sometimes I've had things that just seem ridiculous to me to do. It just didn't make any sense. I've had the Lord say to me to say to him, you don't know, a person comes up. This is what I've learned over the years. Sometimes if I walk up in a ministry, if I touch a person, all of a sudden I know things. Now, I don't know because I know them. There's things that I'll know that I never heard about them at all. Now, God may want you to minister in that area. You're going to have to open your mouth and say something about that, and it puts you over in an uncomfortable spot. Mm-hmm. Let's just pray for them. I don't want to, you know, say something and it isn't solid. I don't. Yeah. When you don't know, you know. Say, well, what if I miss it? Well, you ain't the first person, so get over yourself. And don't worry. What about the 4,000 times you missed it before? Right. This isn't like a new experience to you. For 30 years and missed it all the time. It didn't bother him at all. Got to be a Christian. Now you want to be this perfect thing and just so you gotta be able to talk like this. Get over yourself. God can use you when you get over yourself. He does, I'm serious. It's like, yeah, I can use them now, you know. They're not trying to be somebody. Hallelujah. And he'll make something out of you. That's what he does.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, I need something made out of me. We're trying to make something out of ourselves. But what happens here, we find out that Jesus in ministry, it says in verse 38, so now he arose, he at the synagogue, he entered Simon's house. Now his wife was there, he said, the fever, and anyhow, he said, he stood over her and rebuked the fever and left her. He said, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. What did he do? He didn't have a specific leading, so what do? You lay hands on the sick. That's Jesus said. Jesus gave the thing of laying hands on the sick. But if he gives you something else to do, you do it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say you lay hands on the sick every time. In other words, he didn't have a separate leading on this thing. He didn't. You need to understand about these things, how they work. So here he doing. What's he doing? He's just operating by what this was a common thing to do, is to lay hands. See, we can lay hands on, but that don't mean every time. That's why you listen to your spirit. If the spirit's telling you, if you don't pick something up, you know what I do? I lay hands on them. I can do that. I can lay hands on a person. It doesn't say you have to have a long prayer. You do this in the name of Jesus. You know? We got over where people expect long prayers. People expect to say certain things and, you know, if God may lead you to do something, that is fine. But you make sure that you're led to do it and you're just not going on to trying to do something. The name of Jesus is powerful enough to heal the sick.
Amen. Amen.
If Jesus just rebuked that fever, now he didn't use his name to rebuke it because he was the Lord. He didn't. But you and I, in the name of Jesus, we could tell that fever to leave. We didn't have to pray for some long prayer. He directs us to deal with it and speak to that. There's times the Lord has told me to speak to certain things. There's one thing as it does. I never go over long any kind of prayers when I'm dealing with things in the natural I want to change. I talk to it. You talk to mountains. He never said pray about the mountain. Never. He never said do this, or Jesus never prayed to a storm. You look at the things. The Lord dealt with me in this and I learned from it. He said to me, did you ever notice one day, he said this, I was only a Christian a few years. He said to me one day, did you notice, he said in the scriptures, I never prayed about animate objects. That's objects in the natural. He said, I never prayed about any of those. He said, I always spoke to them. So I never pray about Adam and Asha. I talk to them. I want something to change in the natural. I talk to it. You see, Christians get together and they pray and pray and pray and they go into prayers. Lots of times they don't have to do that. You go talk to that thing.
Amen.
You say to this mountain, be removed, be thou cast in the sea. Mm-hmm. You don't doubt in your heart. Believe those things you say come to pass. And so we have in Jesus in ministry, when the Lord spoke that to me, I never heard anybody ever teach about that or say a thing about it. He said that to me one day and I thought, my God, he's right. He never prayed about those things. But most of the church world and most spirit-filled church world, when they come along and they want something natural to change, they try to have a prayer meeting. They say, you know, well, we're doing it, we're being spiritual and doing the ministry of Jesus. No, that's not what Jesus did. See, we can learn from these things. If you get a hold of these and learn about these things in doing them, you'll find out, you know, I often thought about this. How much time do people spend time in useless prayer? When they could put time into prayer that would really be very useful. But you tell them, people say, yeah, well, we pray a lot. Yeah, about what? What are you praying for? What are you doing? See, what I do? What did the Word say I do about what I pray about and what I don't? You know, you could pray and ask God to do something about the devil and you're wasting your time. We cast out devils. I don't ever pray about the devil or dealing with the devil. That's my job. My job is me dealing with the devil. Not somebody else. We don't pray and ask God to do anything about the devil. You'll never find in the scriptures that Jesus prayed or anything about the devil. Never did. You'll find that Paul and none of them, they didn't go around praying about the devil. You know, even the seven sons of Sceva, who were Jews, tried to cast a devil out of a guy in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Well, that, you know, they thought Paul was the guy. Well, the demon wasn't any interest in what Paul had. But you know, see, the one thing, they didn't do a prayer. They seen Paul deal with demons. He never prayed about it. See, we need to, this is why these religious things got to be broken down, and these religious ideas that we have about things is dealing as the areas of authority. We're trying to get God and not accepting our authority. What we have to do, I can do that. We can take a charge over this. We can do it. You know, Jesus, we have John wrote, John Stewart, whatever thing, he said, according to the Word, dealing with the Word, that we pray, he said, concerning the Word, he said we would have it, whatever it is dealing with the Word. Paul wrote, he wrote 1 John, the 5th chapter. In other words, we would sit down and think about it from the standpoint of prayer. If I pray and it's according to the Word, then it's going to be given to me. I'm going to have it. Get that thought. Now this is dealing with you personally. It's not dealing with somebody else. Somebody else can believe something else. They're believing something else and you're trying to do something for them. Understand, they have authority in their life. They can believe what they want. Mm-hmm. That's why people don't understand this. They don't realize your kids grow up and get to a certain point. You can't keep controlling them. Your prayer life will not control them. It will not do it. They're going to have to do something. Doesn't mean you can be a blessing. I just say this. The greatest thing you can ever do is you live right. And you walk where you can if you're going to help them and be a blessing, and God can do some blessing things because you walk right. But there's things that they're going to have to come to the point where they believe and they act on. Our youngest daughter, Elena, was 11 years old, and the Lord would not let me pray the prayer of faith on her. He said, she knows how to pray the prayer of faith. You tell her to pray in and you agree with her. Mm-hmm. Most Christians, they wait till their kid to be 25 years old and they're still trying to believe God for them. Say no. They come to me and they want prayer. What do you believe?
Amen.
What are you going to do?
Amen.
Don't ask me to pray when you're in unbelief. Mm-hmm. I ain't wasting my time.
Amen.
We just run, oh, no, I'm going to be real spiritual. Well, it's always worked out real great, hasn't it? I tell you, God just has moved, took care of everything. No, it don't much. She's 11 years old. The Lord said to me, he said, okay, she came home from school. She was hurting gym and had her elbow was all swelled out and everything else. And I went in and sat down and asked her. I said, what do you want to do? I said, you're going to have to pray. I just sit down and talk to her. So the Lord told me. The Lord said, she knows how to believe. He said, you agree with her, you go and talk to her. And I said, well, you have a choice. I said, you want to go to the doctor or you want to be divinely healed? Which one do you want? Well, most people, they just don't listen to the Holy Ghost. See, my daughter learned something that day. And she was 11 years old. She knew how to believe God.
Amen.
See, we think, oh, you got to be at least, 45 and, whatever else. I find that when people waited that long, they usually can't believe God at all. So, but... And so I said to her about it. I said, which do you want to do? Wow. I'm going to be agreeing with her, so we got to locate her faith. Not my faith. Her faith.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, what do you want to do? You want to go to the hospital? And I said, when you go to the hospital, this is going to do. They're going to take you in. They're going to x-ray you and do things. And I said, they're going to put your arm in a sling and you believe in God, whatever you believe God will do for you. Go to the hospital. I said, you want to go to the hospital? She said, I don't want to go to the hospital. Well, I said, can you believe to be healed? Just that God will heal you. She said, I just believe God will heal me. I said, good. So what I did, I told her, where are you going to stand on? What scriptures are you standing on? She told me. We prayed them. That took about 2 minutes. We're done. Now I said, this is what we're going to do. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something that's really important, is why most Christians don't get nowhere. I said, we're going to spend some time just thanking God that you're healed. And so for about 15 minutes, we spent all that time. See, most people, they do a 15-minute prayer begging, and then they do 2 seconds of thank you, and they don't get nothing. I said, why? We're going to act like you got something. See, I agree with you. This thing's healed in the name of Jesus. It is. We're going to heal. So we sat there on the bed and we praised God and did all one thing. We went, where's God? Thank God. I just told, Lord, I'm so glad you healed her. I'm so glad. This is taken care of. We don't have to do nothing with this. And this is wonderful. And you know what? When I was done, you know what we had? Nothing. And you know what I did? I walked out of the room. See, I believe it's taken care of. I ain't going to hang around there. I'm not going to act like, oh, boo-hoo, what do you need now? Oh, let me kiss it for you. Let me do... I walked out of the room. She's healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I'm the mean old man. But I can get miracles.
Amen. Praise God.
And anyhow, so I walked out of left. I bet it wasn't 15, 20 minutes. She come walking out of her room and she said, Dad, my arm's completely healed. She's moving around, swelling in her own way. There was a little bruise spot about the size of a quarter there, and that was always left, and that went away in a day or so. That was gone.
Praise God.
See, I don't tell you these stories to glorify. This is how God works.
Amen.
It's proof of how God works. Mm-hmm. I learned this. I listened to how people got miracles, and I duplicated what they did, and I got miracles. Amen. The reason most people don't, they only duplicate themselves, and they don't know enough to duplicate anything.
Amen.
I found out how somebody gets it. You go to school and you learn from somebody that learns more than you. If you know what they know, what the heck are you doing there for? What do you go to church for if you think you're so smart? It's good preaching, folks.
It's great preaching.
I'm just telling you how to get delivered.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's like with me. I ain't gonna let 11-year-old get over me. I'm on. If I can't believe God, dear Lord, if you can't go further than 11-year-old, shame on you. That's what I did when I first got saved. I went through the thing and found out Brother Hagin, 16 years old, got his delivered off the deathbed on his faith. He wasn't around anybody that had faith or knew a thing about healing. God taught him on the deathbed. And I said this when I read his thing. Ain't no 16-year-old kid going to have more faith than me. And most people, they'd never say anything like that. Oh, well, God had a reason. And God said, this is about faith. You ain't going to ever have strong faith till you decide you're going to have strong faith.
Amen.
You ain't going to ever have it going around talking about something else. No, I'm going to have strong faith. I'm going to tell you, if somebody's going to have strong faith, it's going to be me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to believe God.
Amen.
Say, is that wild and weird? No. Faith comes by hearing the Word. In other words, all I got to do is make sure I hear the Word and not hearing everything else and having a lot of things and saying, I believe the Bible, but really don't.
Amen.
See, I just decided. The things that I said when I was a young Christian has set my course for the rest of my life. Most people spend at least 20 years as a Christian saying wrong stuff, and the course of their life goes there spiritually. You want to change the course in your life? You change what you say starting tonight.
Amen. Preach.
You change what you... This is what I'm going to say. I'm a person of faith. That's what I am.
Amen.
People say, well, faith's hard. No, it isn't. Faith's easy. It comes from God's Word. God makes sure Ed gets faith.
Amen.
Faith is not hard. I was a sinner for 30 years. Living like hell's hard.
Amen.
I'm not living the hard life now. I'm living the faith life. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
See, you got to talk right.
Because
you'll be your own great discourager. You know, don't go along with all these people. Well, you know, well, but faith's hard. This is that and the other thing. Well, you go ahead and believe it. Now, you'll have a hard life. Go ahead. I'm going to tell you what. There's nothing more wonderful than watch the Word of God work in your life.
Amen.
You need to see supernatural in your life. Don't blow wind to people if you don't see it. You want to see it in your life.
Amen.
Just me getting born again changed my life. The supernatural. I just expected everybody wouldn't be saved, wouldn't have a supernatural life. I got one right away. I didn't have to wait 10 years to get a supernatural life. God changed my life supernaturally right away. See, it's how the gospel is even preached to you determines how far you'll go.
Amen.
See, you need to know, you need to preach to you good if nobody else is. You become Amen. Your preacher. That's what you do. See, you got to be your own best cheerleader. Quit waiting for somebody else to pat you and pet you.
Amen.
You step up. You be your cheerleader. They might call you a dog, but you call yourself a child of God.
Amen.
They might say whatever they do to you, but you, what you call you, what you think about you,
Amen.
Is going to set your direction, not
That's
them.
Right.
Nobody
Amen.
Sets the direction of my life but me.
That's right.
I decide whether I'm going to follow Jesus. Jesus don't even decide that. I decide that.
Amen.
And I'm following Jesus.
Amen.
Say, you everything perfect? Oh my God, you need a drink. Nobody's perfect at it. But you ain't ever got to even get good at it talking different.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. It's good preaching. Glory to God, I done preached me happy.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, he went out there and he healed. He laid hands on. He just did. If the Spirit didn't say nothing, well, then we'll lay hands on him. So he that night, he laid hands on him. Before he's operating under the gifts of the Spirit, he's under operating, and boom, God moves. Well, this is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
See, learn to listen on the inside. You can hear. God's talking to you.
Amen. Thank you.
You know, it's one thing, it's getting, like a lot of people act like it's strange. I'll just tell you this honestly. God shows me things every day. I don't go with a day without coming in contact with God. If you do, I'm going, you ain't got much proof he's even living in you. He might come and visit every once in a while. He's in you, and God ain't deaf and dumb.
Amen.
Get yourself over about how you think about this. Because people say, well, you know, they hear from God too much. I'm going to tell you what, if I didn't hear from God, I'd wonder what
Amen.
Happened to Ed.
Amen.
I wonder what happened to me. How could God be living in me and in my spirit? All the things Jesus said that he's going to do in us, he's going to be working, man.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So he's in there talking. He's in there bearing witness with other stuff.
Amen.
This thing is going on in us all the time on the inside.
Yes.
And you have to learn to hear it.
Amen.
When I started off, my hearing on the inside was not as good. I had to learn to develop that.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn to turn away from the outside. We're moved too much by what we hear, feel,
right.
and not see.
Mm-hmm.
They dominate. Now look, you're in this world and you hear and say things and all that goes on. But I tell you, you got to become the thing of on the inside about what's going on in you. Not be moved by what people see or even their problems.
Amen.
Lots of times what you see on the outside, people are having problems with to fix it. And it ain't what you think on the outside to fix it.
Amen.
God knows what to fix them. You can have 10 people with it looks like the exactly same problem and all of them ain't the fix, ain't the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you look in the natural. See, you go to a doctor, everybody has a certain thing and a symptom, they'll throw the same medication out at everybody. Why? They're operating the natural. They don't check to find out. Those people may not have the same thing wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
People have that all the time. That person just told me about it, you know, at the doctor. doctor completely misdiagnosed, and they tell them about it, the doctor about it. They're heading in the wrong direction, and the doctor was heading in the wrong direction. They knew more about the problem than the doctor did. Well, they knew on the inside something was wrong. And the doctor didn't. All he had was natural education. And he wasn't even good at that. That's why the idea that you're going to go to a doctor, it's easier than staying and believing. You better get over yourself. You don't know nothing yet.
Amen.
You better learn how to stand in faith. Because we have too many people out here that ain't good at what they do. And we need to understand this. I mean, you need to say, I want to hear from heaven. God, what did Dr. Jesus say about what's wrong with me? What's Dr. Jesus saying about that? What do I need? What do I, you know, they'll convince you need to be worried about something you don't even need to be worried about at all.
Amen. Preach.
Pay attention to these things. Hallelujah. So, we find out here with Jesus. He said, so it's in verse 41. And we'll close up with this. It says, and the demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now listen to what it says. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. The crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Did you see that? Just because people want you to hang out, that don't mean you do. You listen on the inside of what God's saying you do.
Amen.
He said, I wasn't sent to spend all my time here with you just because you like what I'm doing. It's fun to be popular, isn't it? See what they think of me? They want to keep me around. And I'll tell you what, just hang around. They'll be sick of you in no time. Because the anointing will leave and it'll just be you. He said, no, I know what I'm called to do, so I'm going to go do that. That's what I'm going to do. I got to teach other people. Why? Faith comes by hearing. His job is to bring faith. He's teaching to bring people to faith concerning the kingdom of God. Not take care of all their stuff.
Amen.
If they get faith by hearing him, they should take care of some of their stuff.
Amen.
But people are like this. It's like today in America. They want everybody else to take care of their stuff.
Preach.
You become great and take care. You become a great preacher. You hold the meetings and I stay in unbelief and just come to your meeting and get healed. Let's do that. What do you think? And then when I can't get you to a meeting, the devil will kill me. That's what happens. Faith. He said, I got to go around. I got to preach to you. I got to get out of here to these people, because other people, I want to bring people to faith. This is what he's doing. See, we need to get around here. This is God's intent. Because God cannot move any further than people are in faith.
Amen.
We need to understand the importance of that. God is bringing it. This is why we have so many people today who have come to Christ, have no faith whatsoever. They spend the rest of their life, no faith whatsoever. Not listening, teaching, preaching. They don't go sit. They're not disciples. They don't sit and learn the word or anything like that. Never developing faith. You know, these Jews, one thing is about them, at least they went down the synagogue, you'd found one place where you could go and you got the crowd. Today they won't even go to the church. They don't want to go anywhere. No, I want it where I can just do whatever I want and it'll just all of a sudden fall on me and come to me. It don't happen like that. I'm just going to tell you this. It takes labor.
Amen.
It takes labor to be a disciple.
Amen.
It takes labor. It's going to take your time. You're going to have to decide what you're going to do about your time. What are you going to do? It don't just come to you.
Amen.
One thing is I learned about over the years, as many people mentioned, if what people went through and what they did so God could use them is phenomenal. What people did.
That's right.
And people today generally are not going to be used very much by God because they are not doing much of what needs to be done, you know, to get it. I mean, when you can't get the average person to even say they're a Christian, even to go to one service a week.
Amen.
You can. You know, they won't come to church once in. You know they ain't doing nothing at home.
Say that. Amen. Say that again.
Other than complaining.
Amen.
Oh, but But I tell you what, they've probably been on Facebook for 5 hours a day, you know, and that stuff and all the rest of their junk. They've gotten a ton of that.
Come on.
You know, I was just looking there, you know, your phone takes some of how much you've been online. I averaged the week we were down there, now I use that instead of my computer a lot, so I'll use my phone to just to go to communicate and do stuff. I spent an average of 20 minutes a day. My God, I just burned it up, I'll tell you. You know what? I learned this. See, I'm in a direction there to. I know you can't get tied up over into other things because you do. You'll sit in a service for a half an hour to an hour till you finally get settled down to focus to listen. You get your mind caught on all kind of other stuff. See, sometimes you have to break away from things. You can't do them.
Amen.
See, I learned this. I get up in the morning to just go to church. I get up at 5:30, and the reason I do it, I'm not rushing around. Because when you come to church after you've been rushing around, I will guarantee you, you'll probably go through worship, and your worship is mostly natural. You get yourself settled down.
Mm-hmm.
I get up and I spend time from 5:30. I don't rush around to do a thing. I'm not. My focus is not on any other kind of stuff. It's not on any other kind of things. Why? Because see, I want to hear from heaven.
Amen.
Most people want to hear from heaven, but they want a bullhorn to come and talk to them because that's the only thing it can get through to them.
Preach.
Because they're just full of noise. And they don't do anything to get quiet.
Preach.
It takes something to settle down and be quiet. Take something. I'm going to get ready. Get myself ready to hear from God. I'm going to get myself. So when God speaks, I got it. You know, I'm listening on the inside. We're going to talk about Jesus' ministry to people and what he said about people not being able to hear.
Mm-hmm.
He was sent to a people, the majority never heard him, who were at his meetings. The majority never heard him. He said so. See, these things are hard to take. Why? Because we never really read the Bible. We did our religious readings just to get to... I read through the Bible, you know, every year. So I get down and I got to get my reading done this morning because I got time. I got to go get this done. And I'm reading. It isn't how fast you can get through this thing.
Amen.
It's how much of it I can hear. If I can only hear one scripture, I will do better than 99% of Christians who read the Bible.
Amen.
How can I quit? I ain't interested. I've tried. I've never done good at reading through the Bible in a year. Never done good at it. You know why? I get stuck places. I'll read a scripture and all of a sudden it'll stand out and I'll spend a week there. I got to go back to that. That thing talked to me. What is God trying to say? There's something there in that thing. God's talking to Ed. It's not important. Oh, but I got to follow my religious reading through the Bible. That's what's important. And I could go tell people, I read through the Bible. What do you know about it? Nothing. I read through it. What can you do? Nothing. The devil owns me and my family. But where are you? We read the Bible. See, we got to change about our lifestyle and our thinking. You see, I grew up in a time period that it was really different than today. And I want to tell you, today's lifestyle is geared toward the world. It's not geared toward God or Christ. And if you're going to be the average American, you're not going to follow Christ. You could be born again, you'll go to heaven, but you're not going to really follow Christ. You see, people lived differently. They weren't tied up in everything all the time and that kind of stuff. That didn't happen. People went to church, usually the Christians, they were in church at least 3 times a week, at least. At least. And see, we got into this thing and I started seeing in the 1980s, we're busy. I knew this when I started people saying busy. I thought, well, we're going to have a car and a bunch of Christians. They're always busy. I'm busy. I'm just, you know, back in the days when I was the farmers would be in work. The dairy farmers would be in church 3 days a week. Now, nobody works more than those people do. Mm-hmm. Nobody works longer hours than they do. See, you can't throw this out. I'm busy.
Come on.
How comes they could do it? Why? Because there was things in their life more important than the natural. God held a place that was different. It was different. They did. We don't have that. Even in some of the we call best ministries, don't even have that.
Amen.
And so we need to understand. We get tied up in a lot of stuff, and hearing from God is an important thing. See, I learn how to get it into every area, as much as I can, every area of my life. I don't go out even like run. I run or walk every day, but I tell you, I'm meditating on things the whole time I'm doing it. I keep myself focused in a direction. Because see, you can let the natural turn around. The things going on are so easy to draw you away.
Preach.
Yeah.
Why? If anything, you're living in the day and time, you need supernatural health, help.
Amen.
And you need to understand this. You need it more than you realize you do.
Amen.
Because most people today, till they realize the real supernatural help they need, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
No, when things are going good, that's when you get good with God.
Amen.
You don't wait,
right.
Well, now bad happened. Well, no, I got to get over into the Word. You waited too long.
Amen. Preach. Mm-hmm.
When the house is burning down, that ain't the time to put in the sprinklers.
Amen.
That's what Christians do.
Amen.
Yep, we're going to get the sprinklers in now. Yep, I knew we didn't need to do that, but I'm going to get them in now. We're going to believe God, yes. This is good preaching, folks. But see, now tell you guys, you're hungry. You come out, you realize the people around you. We're trying to change people's lives. We're going to have to change them, tell them the truth.
Come on.
And you ain't going to be Mr. and Mrs. Popular.
That's right.
Because you're talking against most of the ministers on TV.
Amen.
Because you just get a fix watching me. You know, watch my show for a half an hour and you'll just get your fix for the week. Yeah? You'll be as carnal as he is.
Amen. Preach.
You'll just be money-minded like he is.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about all, yeah, well, God blessing me, I have all this nice stuff. Yeah, we got all this stuff. Stuff don't make you spiritual.
Come on.
God ain't against people having stuff, but I'm going to tell you what. God is against the gods that we hold in our life.
Amen.
That are stuff.
Amen.
That they do mean more to us than anything else.
Amen.
When Jesus said, think about Jesus said this. Now, this don't get preached often because Jesus said it. It don't get preached often when he said, you know, if you love anything else more than me, if you love your mommy, your daddy, your kids, your whatever else more than me, you ain't worthy of me.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
Well, he didn't really mean that. He was making an illustration. This is why is one thing is getting yourself. Be very careful what you talk about loving.
Amen.
Because you can set yourself up for a real problem because love is a word out of your mouth that means nothing. See, there's things you need to love. You know? See, I love Jesus more than I do my wife.
Preach.
And I can tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not... I know things about Jesus better than I know about my wife. But we're humans. We change. We do things. God don't. I have spent more time chasing after Jesus than I have my wife.
Amen.
People want to change things chasing after the thing they want rather than Jesus.
Preach.
I found this. If I chase after him, I can get anything I want.
Hallelujah.
You ain't going to change things chasing after the things or trying to change the things. That isn't how you do it.
Come on.
You chase after Jesus, my God.
Hallelujah.
What happens, you find sometimes the things that you thought need change didn't. It was you.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
I ran into Jesus and found out a lot of things I needed changed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
But you know what? You run into him and you get changed.
Praise God.
You do. There's glory in his presence. There's glory into knowing him that it just... And sometimes me, I think I struggle to change things, but when you get really close to him, it's like all of a sudden these things change. It's like,
amen.
Man, getting close to him, it does something to you.
Amen.
You know? It's like, you know, loving your wife. My wife, I love her. It does something to you by doing that.
Amen.
See, most people sometimes really don't have love for one another. They just live together.
Amen.
And they don't realize. Because love's a powerful, powerful force.
Amen. Praise God.
People don't realize. We're talking about true love. Not like I love ice cream or I love this or I love that. Which changes nothing but belittles the word when you use love.
Amen.
Just get yourself down. It's like, no, man, I'll tell you what. True love changes things.
Amen.
It'll change you. And I need changed.
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. You're so good because you put up with us and you love us. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord. Glory to God. Father, you've worked mightily in us. I just want to say thank you. And Lord, we're living in a world that's shaken and flaky and weird and whatever else it might be. But Lord God, you are our stabilizing force. You're what holds this thing steady. Hallelujah. And I just want to say thank you for giving us a steady place to stand. A place, Lord God, that is not moved. Hallelujah. A place that we don't have to fear about what goes on around us. Hallelujah. Lord, you've given us a security that's absolutely phenomenal. And I want to thank you for that. You've given us wisdom beyond measure. Understanding, Lord God. Hallelujah. That's outside the knowledge of humanity. Hallelujah. It's heavenly. It's glorious. It's wonderful. It's divine. And I want to thank you. You put it into us. Lord, it may make sense to others about these things. It might seem strange. But Lord God, it's not strange to us.
Amen.
It is a normal life. It's the way that we live. It's who we belong to. Hallelujah. We belong to a supernatural God. Hallelujah. And we're a supernatural people. And we thank you, Lord. It is because of faith in your word. And Lord God, we're just going to yield to you, the great Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for working in us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for guiding us and leading us into the truth. Thank you for showing us things to come. Hallelujah. Thank you for anointing us to carry out the ministry of our wonderful Master and Savior. Jesus, we just want to be good stewards down here in this earth. We just want to live. Our desire is to do your will. That's what we want. Hallelujah. Lord, we lived a life of our own will, and we know it didn't work. But hallelujah, our life now is over to your will, and what a pleasure it is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for calling us out of darkness into your glorious light. And we thank you for it all, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.